This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Michael Anthony joins the show. Dynasty-centric here. We're going to talk a bunch of trades. But at the top, let's talk a little bit about rookie drafts this year. We got some tight clusters of players. And one in the mid to later second round you see a lot in Superflex is Marshawn Lloyd, day two, to Blake Corum, also on day two. How did you assess those guys kind of going into rookie drafting season, you know, before the NFL draft and kind of coming out of it? Do you have a clear favorite there, or are you targeting one more than the other?
So I have my second most owned rookie from this draft class has been Marshawn Lloyd. He's been my target in every single back end of the second is kind of where I've been taking shots at him. I have been a fan. He's been my RB3 pre-draft, and he's now, I think, still there, RB3 for me post-draft. The Green Bay Packers are a team that likes to run the football. They're about a 56% pass-to-run ratio, so it's a little pass-heavy, but I think one of the things we didn't get to see too much of Marshawn Lloyd in college was his pass catching ability. And I was really something they seemed to go out of their way to show at the Senior Bowl is a way he can catch the ball with his hands. A lot of his route running seemed to be impressive to me, especially with angle routes and stuff like that. So I think that's an underrated part of his game. And I just like his ability to make players miss in the middle of the field. And I think that's something that he has in spades over Blake Corum. A very DeAndre Swift type player. So I think that's a Daniel Jeremiah comp them too. So I thought that was probably one of the most perfect comps you could have in this draft. But yeah, Marshawn Lloyd is a guy I've been grabbing everywhere. A guy I believe could take the Aaron Jones role in Green Bay. A quick pass catching option who can still break a lot of tackles, get in between the tackles. I think that could be a role for him and he could flourish.
Yeah. The one thing I always kind of think about, you know, when you're taking running backs is situationally, we know it's such high variance in these backfields. And, you know, Josh Jacobs, if he's back next year, that'll be a bit of a buzzkill. You know, even if you are, you know, you might be going down the, we saw AJ Dillon again, different type of player, but the idea was you're getting a future lead back, and that never really transpired his entire rookie contract. Blake Corum, I'm getting some of these vibes of like, you know, Kieran Williams, he's already dinged up, you know, oh, he'll be back in camp. We'll see. I just kind of, I prefer Lloyd the player. I'll just say that. But Blake Corum, I can't get out of my head, like the perfect storm of like Kieran Williams is out. Blake Corum could be explosively good this year, even if the right answer 3 years from now is Marshawn Lloyd's a better player. Anyway, they're back-to-back. They're really close. I have a little more Corum than Lloyd. But again, I mean, Lloyd was one that USC time didn't really go that well, you know, and he's more talented than kind of the stat lines and some of the production numbers he put up in college.
Yeah, if you were just to look at both of them stat-wise, it would be clear-cut Blake Corum. I was looking at it today. I was just looking at some extra things to get ready for this. I didn't remember 27 touchdowns for Blake Corum last year. That's actually an insane amount, obviously, but you know, he benefited from a very good offensive line at Michigan, a very good play caller, better team all around, a team that wanted to run the ball. I mean, Donovan Edwards is a very good running back himself, and they had trouble keeping him off the field at times.
Can't believe they put Donovan Edwards on the cover of EA.
That was very surprising too. It was
like,
a very
I didn't know he's on that
choice.
Kind of trajectory for their expectations this year. Like I thought he's been a relative, you know, tepid option for the hype that he had coming out of high school. So
I think it was more of, you know, the Michigan hype that they put him
on. We gotta put someone on Michigan on there. We can't put, you know, we're not gonna put the quarterback, we're not gonna put a tight end.
Right.
Exactly. Certainly can't put a wide receiver at present. So we have another cluster here at wide receiver, and we have got the late first rounders, the early second rounders here, guys like Keon Coleman, Ladd McConkey, Ricky Pearsall, Xavier Leggett, and it's flip-flopped. We see a lot of times those round two guys, Coleman and McConkey, go ahead in rookie drafts, then Pearsall and Leggett. Where do you side in the guys that are almost around one pick, they aren't around one pick, versus the guys that Pearsall and Leggett A lot of concerns about their profile overall. Not a lot of people were, especially metrically, weren't supporting them as round one picks pre-draft. But hey, you get home and you have that pedigree for life.
Yeah, so I have been taking Ladd at the end of first rounds in rookie drafts. And then my second option to me, I've been waiting and grabbing Leggett in the middle of the second of rookie drafts because that's value to me. A first round wide receiver at the 2-6, 2-7 turn or
Oh, yeah.
2-6, 2-7 pick. I'm smashing that every single time. But out of that cluster, for me, it's pretty easily Ladd. Extremely good route runner, one of the highest rated route runners I had for this class. Goes into a perfect situation in Los Angeles with Justin Herbert. To me, he's the clear-cut wide receiver one just based on talent there. I know the profile doesn't really show it, being at Georgia. Georgia wide receivers never,
Yeah.
I don't think they've had a 1,000-yard wide receiver in several years. So it's
Even
not
AJ
like.
Green, you look back, AJ Green wasn't as dominant, like stat line wise, as you would expect, because again, dating back to forever, they haven't really been a high powered passing game.
Yeah, so it's like you take some of that with a grain of salt. He had some injuries, obviously, but man, watching him down at the Senior Bowl making dudes look silly coming off the line was super impressive. To me, he was the best wide receiver down there by far. And the biggest thing with him is going to be the ability to beat press man because I do think he does struggle when he's also probably the smallest out of the cluster that we've named here. He struggles against press man. He struggles when things get a little physical, but I think if he tones his game, he'll be able to break away from those guys just with his quickness and shiftability. I don't even know if that's a word. I just kind of made that up.
What do you think is going to be considered a successful fantasy season for Ladd McConkey? What do you think, as someone that's targeting him, what are you kind of expecting as that, viewing him as a success or a failure, at least early on?
So it's going to be a little hard to gauge right now because we're not 100% sure what the Harbaugh offense is going to look like year one, especially. But I think, in my opinion, and I think this is going to be his perennial outlook, is he's going to be a very solid wide receiver too, like a
Okay.
Zay Flowers almost, a very safe option, a guy who's going to get you probably 15 points a game and maybe 12 to 15. But that's very solid. He's going to be a wide receiver too. To me. So I'm taking that swing every single time over, Ricky Pearsall. I think he's extremely talented, but I don't think Brandon Ayuk's going anywhere. Maybe Debo goes somewhere, but again, you still have George Kittle there. They're probably going to bring in another guy, Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah.
Questions all over that Carolina offense, to be honest with you. But
Okay.
I think he has the best chance to be a wide receiver too out of that cluster.
Okay. Get into a few dynasty trades here. So again, this is always a nice conduit to talk about dynasty player value here and mix in some veterans as well. So we got Superflex for most of these, Rashee Rice and Romo Odunze, so a couple of younger guys for another one in Puka Nacua. So you get obviously the most productive, highest value guy in Nacua, but you're getting up two notables on the other side. So what do you kind of think about consolidating in this way?
So this one actually to me is pretty even. But I would take the Rome and Rashee Rice side. I know Rashee Rice is a big question mark right now in regards to, is he going to get suspended? Is he not going to get suspended? But I had Rome Odunze, and this might be a hot take, I don't care, as my wide receiver two of this class. And I could see him as a top 12 dynasty wide receiver, as well as Puka Nacua. But you're adding on a very solid wide receiver in Rashee Rice as well. So I would take that side.
Yeah, I kind of wonder, like my biggest thought here is you're paying, like if you're selling Puka Nacua, I would probably do it a little different way, only because I think, Rashee Rice, does he get suspended? This is certainly the time that you should pay a discount, on the uncertainty of what's coming up. And you have Xavier Worthy coming in. There's a question mark of Rashee Rice, life may not be as good as it was last year when they didn't have a whole lot going on. Let's throw some bubbles to him and some short routes and let him do his thing. If they actually have a legitimate wide receiver core around him, I do wonder. And I am a Rashee Rice fan. And then Odunze is just coming in. So I wonder, like, I would like this a lot more if you had, like a Brandon Ayuk in there or, like somebody that we have a little more resume of, we know what they're going to be ultimately and a little fewer question mark, just as one example.
One thing I will say in regards to Rome is that we know Rome is going to have a a very solid quarterback at Caleb Williams. We're not
Well,
sure what
he'll
the.
outlast Keenan Allen on the roster. I mean, even
Well,
if he's
yeah.
if he's not ahead of him this year, he's going to outlast that. And I mean, obviously, the projection would be probably outlast DJ Moore as well.
Right. And we're not 100% sure what Puka's going to have after Matt Stafford, decides to retire. So there is some safety with Rome and Caleb Williams there too.
The good news with Nacua, I do feel a lot better about Jimmy Garoppolo being there. And it's strange to
That's
say, but
true.
Rams were pretty poor in the secondary. Outside of that one Baker Mayfield game, there's a lot of question marks in that backup spot that the Rams got lucky, I think. The thing I keep saying, everyone's like pro Stafford, is like, do we remember 12 months ago the guy could might have been medically retired, and he plays one season and all of a sudden we get Alzheimer's and forget the whole thing. And like he's not older and like it could just happen exactly this year.
Yeah, it could be the end for him. This could be it because that dude has put a lot of miles on that body.
And he takes a lot of big hits right there squarely in the pocket. Super flex deal, and this is a big boy. It's actually got now I'm really interested to see how this one goes because you got your boy Ladd McConkey in there. So we got Justin Herbert, we got Ladd McConkey being traded for Anthony Richardson, a 25 first and a 26 first.
Yeah, for me, this one is Anthony Richardson's side. I'm a big Anthony Richardson guy, and I do have him and Herbert in the same tier in my quarterback rankings. But if you're going to give me that rushing upside in Justin Herbert or in Anthony Richardson with a Shane Steichen offense, so I'm very excited to see in full, with Anthony Richardson and Pittman and Jonathan Taylor, everybody, together as one. He's going to have a monster season if he can stay healthy. And to me, it's pretty much an even swap between those two, a quarterback. Paying two first for Ladd is a little rich for my blood, to be
I was going to
honest with
ask
you.
if you'd pay a 25 first to get into like 111, 112 to get Ladd McConkey this year. Is the answer yes to that?
Yeah, the answer would be yes to that, but that
Okay.
second first is what
Oh, I see.
puts it too much over for me.
Yeah.
But I would love to get that Anthony Richardson.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Yeah, you're a big Eagles fan, but I would have to imagine. I know it's top five for me, but offenses I just want to watch this year. I want to see Anthony Richardson paired with Jonathan Taylor, and I want to see that offense and run game cook because Richardson, outside of injury, I did like a metric where it was like fantasy points per quarter. He was like
It was
easy because he
insane.
had all his partial games, yeah, and he was easily over Josh Allen. He was the QB1 overall, and it's like even if you drop him down 10%. It just speaks to the elite upside that is there. And Jonathan Taylor, again, we could get back to good times are here
Yeah,
again. So,
the RPO game that Indianapolis could have if,
yeah.
if everything works out well, it is going to be scary. I mean, look what Shane Steichen did here with the
I
Eagles
know.
and with Jalen Hurts and names escaping me right now at running back, but oh, Miles Sanders. Miles Sanders got a payday because of Shane Steichen and that offense. So I'm excited to see.
Yeah, and Gardner Minshew, I mean, I can't remember if they got to the playoffs and lost in the first round or they made it all the way to week
So
17. They made it to the last game of the season or something. So it's like,
yeah, it was a throw by Gardner Minshew that was incomplete to their fourth string running back for
oh, that's
some
right.
reason
Yeah.
that they lost to Houston to get themselves knocked out
Yeah.
to
But
get
the
in.
point is, they got all the way there with Gardner Minshew, which is a heck of an achievement. And I think you can't help but be excited about that team this year. Yeah, I
I'm
love those two
100%
firsts.
excited.
All right. This is going to be about maybe pushing your chips in. We got two PPR for tight end, also some super flex. Travis Kelce on the move with a fourth, doesn't really matter, for Xavier Leggett, Kamani Vidal, and a 25 second.
Yeah, this one is definitely you're going in two different directions. If you're selling off Travis Kelce to get Vidal and Leggett, you're probably, doing a rebuild. And if you're acquiring Travis Kelce for that price, you're probably, like you said, pushing all your chips in. I like the Leggett side slightly more, even in two tight end, or I guess one plus PPR for tight ends. I really like Kimani Vidal. I think he's a very sneaky running back, especially in that offense where, Greg Roman has historically used multiple running backs, even going back to his days in Baltimore. So I wouldn't be surprised if Vidal gets some run this year, especially with two running backs ahead of him who also can't stay healthy. So
Yeah,
it's going to be
people
very
reacted to
interesting.
the J.K. Dobbins addition, and I'm like, betting on J.K. Dobbins at this point is such a lottery ticket of don't even like. I remember the day that happened. It was what is it back in April, I believe. And the moment it happened, I traded in a Superflex league like 112 for 111 because I was like,
Wow.
hey, well, to include Dobbins because I was like, I just want to get him off my roster. Like I've been looking
Right.
for a reason just because I wanted to have flexibility. And it's like, the value of the roster spot was more to me at that point. So what do you think about the concept? So I think this trade is very interesting to discuss just because you're essentially trading Kelce for a couple seconds, and Leggett
Three
and the future
seconds
second.
and yeah.
Sure. 3 seconds, Vidal's a second
Well,
too.
so
All
let me rephrase that.
right.
It's 2 seconds and a third, essentially, because Vidal has gone
Okay.
from his stock has
No, I
risen.
know. I've seen him taken in the late second, which I think is crazy,
It
but
is.
it's
It's
happened.
very
But yeah,
crazy.
third round, if you want to make sure you get him. And again, I think he's one of the better dart throws situationally, where you say this thing could break right. I mean, absolutely dead red right on him. So,
Over 1,200 yards after contact in college is extremely impressive to me.
a bowling ball that
He
can catch. Yeah.
literally, and he kind of reminds me of a Jordan Howard-esque type running back who was, similar styles, drafted later. I think there's something with Vidal, to be honest with you.
So you wouldn't be surprised if at some point this year, if Vidal. Again, things go nutty in season, but in terms of valuations, the Vidal could be the most valuable piece in this deal.
Oh no, it's going to be Leggett. But like, I just
Oh,
I'm a
okay.
big Vidal guy. I've been hyping him up on
Okay.
Twitter, on my podcast, everywhere I could talk about him, to be honest.
So you
I've
would
been,
actually do this deal.
yeah, I'd feel especially, well, let me rephrase. If I'm
Okay.
pushing my chips in, no. If I'm rebuilding 110, 1%,
Because I
100%.
don't know what Kelce owner here in May and June should be like trading this in a two PPR. Like, how are you saying I'm not contending this year? That's always the thing that
It's
bugs
too
me. I'm
early to kind of assess that.
like you had Kelce last year, and what did you earn the 101? Probably not. I mean, if you had a team around Kelce in any capacity, like I don't know how you could just say, I'm gonna give away because if he puts one more season up, that's gonna be more valuable than anything else on that. If it's one typical Kelce season, you're
Right.
basically betting against that.
Yeah, it's one of those things where you're kind of calling this a little too early, like the rebuild a little too early. This would be something if like week
If you start out 0
three.
and 3 or 4,
Yeah,
or
exactly.
1 and 4, and you're like Kelce, he's really good. Unless Vidal has the lead role or something, this type of deal is going to be available, I think.
I 100% agree. So if it, I agree, if this is too early to make it, but in season, I would like it
What's
probably.
funny is I made these notes for the show, and this was before Nico Collins got his massive extension. So really good news there. Good chance to talk about him as well. So he's going to be locked in now for at least 3 years. The extension means it's probably three, maybe even four, when you look at maybe what the guarantees are on the back of that deal. But there was a little bit of question mark. What if Stephon Diggs plays well? They like Tank Dell. They've got a lot of talented receivers there. Before we get into the trade itself, what do you think about Nico Collins and what you think was going to happen this year there with the Houston pecking order with Diggs being added?
So I was moving on from both Dell and Nico even before this Stephon Diggs trade happened or signing happened, trade happened. I felt like they were going to bring someone in, a third option, whether it be like a T. Higgins or obviously now Stephon Diggs. I just don't know how this offense is going to feed all three of them, to be honest with you. I really like C.J. Stroud. But this is a lot of mouths to feed, especially with Stephon Diggs, a guy who commands the football. And I love Tank Dell. So this is even hard for me to say to trade him off as well. And then Nico gets paid, so he's locked in for 3 years. I have no idea what to make of this wide receiver room right now, to be honest with
Yeah.
you.
I keep coming back to Stephon Diggs didn't have as much appeal as everybody thought. And
No,
I
you're
kind of
agreed.
wonder that if Buffalo, again, we have the off-field stuff, we have the, how good was the vibe there, but I just have a brass tacks. Like, they might have just seen a guy that here's how much we're paying, and he fell off. And he fell off at an age where if he turns into like what we saw last year from DeAndre Hopkins, you know, again, good player, contributing player, but not one that dominates the ball, dominates the passing game, he could be really good for Houston, but for how long? And then I think he kind of, it feels like, at least it felt like in Buffalo last year, and especially the last half, he needed somebody else. He needs to be surrounded by good talent more so than 5 years ago. And I just kind of wonder if everyone's kind of, you know, thinking Diggs is going to put these young guys aside. And I wonder if Diggs is going to be a lot more of a situational player than we think.
I
Just in
do
terms of
think
like he'll play.
he. Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, well, just that he's going to play outside. You put Tank Dell in the slot a little bit. Nico's going to be outside on one side. And I just kind of feel like we shouldn't be surprised if Diggs, and I know this sounds graphic, but this is what happens. You know, it falls off. And I wonder if he finishes at like wide receiver 28 to 45.
I was
And
going
do
to say in
people
the
view that,
30s.
like, and at that age, I was like, do people view that as a success if you're holding right now? And I would say the answer is probably no. Like, that's like DeAndre Hopkins was like wide receiver 30 or something last year. Did you feel like he really moved the needle for you? Not really. So if you get that type of year, it has value to the NFL team. I just kind of question dynasty wise if that affects you at all.
Right. I do think he probably affects Tank Dell more than he does
Yeah.
Nico Collins, in
That's
my
my other
opinion.
take. Yeah, is I think that you might get two guys between wide receiver 30 and 50 between Dell and Diggs and then Nico Collins. Here's the thing for me. Like I go by yards per route run. Like that's a super sticky thing for me.
Stat.
And you don't just walk, you just happen upon a 3 yard per route run season. I mean, that's like, you know, Brandon Ayuk had one of those seasons. Tyreek Hill has one every year.
Yeah,
If we hit four,
yeah.
the four threshold is Tyreek Hill only, basically. But it's like, but Nico Collins did that and he was still like wide receiver 14 in adjusted points per game. So like he's even on that sort of efficiency, he still wasn't a top 5 to 8 guy. And so I kind of wonder, are we overcooking what his upside is? You know, in a like he can be wide receiver 5. I don't know, even know if that's really on the table for him. Maybe it is, but that's my.
Yeah, I would, to be honest with you, I would be willing to move on from him in a straight up deal for like a DeVonta Smith, to be honest with you. I feel like DeVonta is a safer wide receiver, in my opinion. You know, we've seen it from DeVonta, what, 3 years now? Very consistent wide receiver play. They're both locked into 3 year extensions. They both just got paid, so good for
Well,
both of them.
and also, guess what? I mean, if AJ Brown's out, where do we project in a given week, DeVonta Smith? Probably
Oh,
through the
wide
moon.
receiver
I
one.
mean, AJ Brown has not missed as many games as people think, and certainly not with the Eagles. He plays through a lot of stuff, and but if it was solo Smith, for a few games, I think he might be a top five guy, you know,
He
in fantasy.
had over 150 yards against Tampa in the playoff game where AJ Brown didn't play. That is just a
Yeah.
glimpse of what he could do without AJ Brown and still can do with AJ Brown playing. I mean, we see it. It's just, you know, it's going to be sporadic.
Yeah, that's a really good point there. So back to
I'm sorry, yeah.
the dynasty trading. No, I mean, that was a good conversation on a couple different fronts. But this is Superflex tight end premium. We got Garrett Wilson for Nico Collins and a future second.
To me, this one's pretty even, in my opinion. Like, I think this is like I'd be happy either which way I got this. And that sounds like a cop-out answer, but I would take the Garrett Wilson side. I think this is the year. This is the breakout year for
Hopefully it
Garrett
is. It
Wilson.
better be with how
Hopefully.
much hype he's had, how much market value
Yeah.
he's had for years now. Yeah.
It's just he needs consistent QB play. And if Aaron Rodgers can stay healthy, hopefully. I mean, maybe Jordan Travis, it might be better than we think, who knows? But you know, he was able to feed Johnny Wilson and Keon Coleman, who knows? But I think the time to get Garrett Wilson is now, because I don't think we're going to get him cheaper than what he is. Because I think the price is, because the price was really high last year, leading up to
Right.
last year,
Oh yeah.
died down because it, you know, things didn't go the right way with Zach Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, Mike White was the other one, I think. I can't remember who the third quarterback was, but I think this is the year to get on the Garrett Wilson train. I hope, because I don't want to feel foolish again. But the dude can play. He's still in my top 12 dynasty wide receivers. I believe I have him at 7 right now. And at one point, going into last year, I think he was in my top 5. But you know, the addition of Marvin Harrison Jr. kind of push
think
that
I saw
back a
the
little
most
bit.
bullish Jets person on the planet. I saw some projection that pretty much would put Garrett Wilson in like the top five wide receivers. It also had Mike Williams over having over 1,000
That's
yards.
no way.
And then,
There's
by the
no way.
way, it had like 800 and something yards for Malachi Corley. The Malachi Corley love, I feel like you can't be on Malachi Corley to the level some people are and be bullish on Garrett Wilson. Like, I don't think there's enough fantasy passing production there to go around with the Jets. I just don't think it's going to be some massive throw it around attack.
If I were to rank the three of them, obviously it would be Garrett Wilson, obviously. The Malachi Corley to me would be the second option on that offense, just based on everything. Well, so I really like Malachi Corley. I've been a big Malachi Corley guy, but everything I've heard about Malachi Corley coming out of Aaron Rodgers' mouth is something we never hear from Aaron Rodgers in regards to rookie wide receivers. So, I'm interested to see how he looks. Maybe 500 to 600 yards could
I do
be.
wonder, again, Malachi Corley is that type. We talked about Rashee Rice in passing, but like, these are puzzle pieces that not every offense can put together. The Rondale Moores, that we've seen this type and not do well for a number, Tavon Austin, just of guys that, oh, they're a playmaker. We're going to get that ball in their hands. Deebo Samuel, they've done that, and a smattering of others, but mostly they don't. And I just, until I see it, show me the game plan. Show me 100 plus targets, because it just seems like a lot of teams think this way. And then when they start calling plays and start calling numbers,
It
it's
goes out the
typically not for that
window.
guy, right? I mean, oh, this is going to be awesome. And then he sees like five touches a game and there are two carries on end arounds. It's just like he might be in the return game. And it's like we sit here, throw up our hands and go, well, what does this mean for us? Not much.
Yeah, he's not a very safe fantasy football player, right? Especially right now.
And Garrett
I've been
Wilson's
taking.
locked in. Like, he's not going to be like the number one guy. And I think a lot of people overstate what a wide receiver two in an offense actually does most times.
Especially with a Breece Hall and, the 16 running backs they have in New York
Yeah.
for
Even if you
whatever
say it's going
reason.
to be tepid at tight end and say Mike Williams. Oh, wait. News report. Oh, Mike Williams just got hurt.
Yeah, I don't
Yeah,
buy into the
exactly.
Mike Williams hype at all, to be honest
Exactly.
with you.
Yeah. So even if he's the wide receiver two, that's probably still going to be a guy that's like wide receiver 45 to 80. Like, you have to be realistic, about what that probably
I could
means.
see like a 500-yard, 600-yard season
But
for him, like
I think some people will be massively disappointed, even though if you just said, 40 something catches, 500 yards, three touchdowns, I think that's a nice start for a guy that's not a round one or even round two pick there. So I think you got to be careful.
there's like a threshold for rookies. I forget exactly what it is. It's like 500, 600 yards is usually a good trajectory for a rookie. So I would be very happy to see that.
Final thought. Actually, let's make this open-ended. So give a dynasty takeaway, a dynasty point here that you've got kind of been talking about the month of May. It could be rookie draft related, could be team building wise, but what's something that, you're answering questions, you're putting out content, and you're just like, hey, this is something I keep circling back to.
Believe it or not, the one thing a lot of people have asked me is like, say for instance, I really need a wide receiver at the 1-4 or the 1-3 in my rookie draft, and Neighbors and Harrison are gone. Do I reach for Rome? No, like it, obviously I have Rome at 2, but that's not consensus. So I'm just going consensus right now. To me, it's always take best player available in rookie drafts and trade for need later on, especially in super flex leagues. You could see a quarterback not perform well their rookie season, or like to the standard you thought they were going to be, like a Bryce Young, and not lose so much value, right?
As long as they're the starter, yeah, you're okay.
Yeah. And then you look at Quentin Johnston, who was a first round pick, who was a high first round rookie pick as well. His value is just completely plummeted. So to me, taking best player available, especially with quarterbacks, they're what is the word? They're stability with training and stuff like that usually stays safer than other positions.
I love that. So Michael Anthony, thank you so much for coming on the show, talking some dynasty trades, talking some player value here, and sharing your time and talents. Where can folks find you, and what are some of the things that they can find on your Twitter slash X feed for content that you put out or plan to?
So I am on Twitter at Dynasty Dog Mike. Or X. I keep forgetting that it's changed now. You could find my content at the Dynasty Dogs podcast. That's our on Spotify. And we just started the past 2 weeks, the Toilets of Titles website. I am part of a trio of people there. AJ, Dylan, myself. We do Dynasty content every week, live on Twitter and YouTube. So you can find me on there as well.
Excellent. Michael coming on, breaking down some dynasty trades with me this week. I'm Chad Parsons. Until next time, never settle, refuse to be average, and keep building those dynasties.